Gather round, take a seat, relax. It's the Verbringen with Rabbi Levi Avtzon, right here on 101.9 High FM.
This is 101.9 High FM. My name is Rabbi Levi Avtzon of Linksfield Shul. Here we are live, and we're just before Yom HaZikaron, where we honor and pay tribute to all the soldiers that were killed protecting the land of Israel and the people of Israel. And we also remember all those who were killed by terrorist attacks over the years. Obviously, October 7th as well, but throughout all the years, last many, many decades, all those that gave their life away. We honor them. We pay tribute to them. In just a moment, we'll also be sharing a song, We Stand As One. So today, I want to dedicate the show to that and also explore the idea of memory. But before we go there, it's been a while since we were on a live show. It was Pesach. There was a lot going on, holidays, etc. And I just want to say, hope your Pesach season and the last month has been rejuvenating for you and in some way liberating, that you felt a sense of liberty in at least one area of the life. Otherwise, it's beautiful, it's meaningful, but it's not transformative. If the Pesach season went by us but not through us, then it hasn't accomplished its ultimate goal, right? Because it's ultimately to go through you. It's to literally sew itself into the very fabric of our worldview and our personality and our emotions and our identity. And one of the ways to allow that liberty is by having a strong identity. And one of the ways of having a strong identity is having a strong memory. And it's not just a memory of words. It's a memory of stories and values and heroes. Every culture has people that they put on a pedestal. And whoever makes it to that pedestal is very telling about the culture. In other words, one of the ways to understand whether a culture is worth exploring more and whether adapting to is ask yourself, who are the heroes in that culture? In some cultures today, the heroes are Hamas. When your hero is a murderer and a rapist, then you tell me everything you need to know about your value system and your morality. When your heroes are people that defend their land with love and integrity and value life more than they value death, their own families, rather than using their families as human shields, then you tell me everything you need to know about the other side and the other value system. Who we hero worship, which I hate those words, hero worship, but who we put on a pedestal says very much about who we are, what our aspirations are, right? Ask yourself who your heroes are, not only in a geopolitical story like, you know, what's going on in the Middle East, but who are the people that you put on a pedestal? Are they sport icons? Okay. Nothing wrong with sport icons, but is that your highest end of human endeavor? Is it intellectuals, inventors, business people, beautiful people, charming people, charismatic people, influencers? Who are your heroes? Or are your heroes people of incredible moral integrity, people with incredible values, sages, people who have figured out a way to live a balanced, moral, decent, honorable life. People who've raised beautiful families, people who have magnificent marriages, people that have been through tough times and stood up and kept on fighting, people who care for the underdog, people who focus more on their spirituality than their physicality, who have overcome the temptation of vanity. Who are our heroes? That's a huge, huge question. And it's almost like an outside-in question, because instead of me asking what my values are, I just ask myself what my heroes are, who my heroes are, and that already tells me who my values are. In other words, it's not digging deep at the beginning superficially. The first question is actually a very superficial question. It's like, okay, who do you hero? Who do you put on the pedestal? And then that leads you to the conversation of, okay, what actually do I value? You know, when you go online and you see who are the people that are the most followed, whose videos are most seen, are those the people who have the best ideas to share? Not necessarily. Often they're the most scandalous, most pathetic, most vain, most silly. We have a very funny way in today's day and age of determining success. Success fundamentally is numbers. How many people like you, and how many people follow you, and how many people buy your product? It's this mass consumerism ideology of success. That if a lot of people like what you're supplying, which is basically capitalism, then what you're supplying must be good. But that's rubbish. A lot of people can like a lot of bad ideas. A lot of people can buy things which are very destructive for them, right? Cigarettes are very popular in some parts of the world. It doesn't make it good. Or drugs or other rubbish all over the internet. Popularity does not in any way say integrity. So who we are, is one of the ways of discovering that is by asking yourself, who do I put on a pedestal? And one of the things that the Jewish people have done over the centuries, over the millennia, is they had a very interesting people that they put as their high end of human endeavor. That was often always people of incredible moral integrity, people of incredible wisdom and knowledge, right? The Talmidei Chachamim, the sages, the patriarchs, the matriarchs, the people who had incredible self-sacrifice, those who died sanctifying God's name, not by killing others, but by honoring God. We have a very interesting group of people whose stories we tell, right? At the Pesach Seder, we tell the story of the Jewish people in Egypt and Abraham and Moshe. Our heroes are very, very telling. So as we stand just a few hours before Yom HaZikaron and we honor our heroes, some of our heroes, let's remember that one of the best windows into a culture is to ask yourself, who do they celebrate?
This is the Verbringen with Rabbi Levi Avtzon on 101.9 Chai FM.
This is 101.9 Chai FM. My name is Rabbi Levi Avtzon from Linksfield Shul, and today we're exploring this idea of identity, but through the angle of which people we put on the pedestal. And I want to develop that thought a bit. We all tell stories. We all have stories, right? We all make a story of our life. I think Yuval Noah Harari calls it fictions. I hate that word. It's stories. We're all telling stories. And based on the stories, that's how we develop an identity, right? The Jewish people have been telling themselves a story, obviously lots of variations of the story, but the same core of stories over millennia. And that slowly but surely, together with the application of those stories in a very practical way, right? The Pesach Seder is not just a story, it's literally acting it out, because we're a very action-based religion. Everything has to manifest in action, not just in emotion. But between the story and the application of the narrative, that is probably the most important recipes in developing our identity. And every culture has their stories. So memory is very much about which stories we choose to remember. Each family has their stories that they seem to share, focus on, etc. Some, for example, you know, it was Holocaust Memorial Day just a few days ago. Different Holocaust survivor families had different ways of focusing on the story or not focusing on the story at all. In my family, well, basically most of my great-grandparents, many of my great-grandparents were killed during the war. And they didn't go to concentration camps. Many of them were shot, etc. And it was not a story that was told. In other words, to rebuild their lives, they chose to tell a story where basically what they went through. And most of them didn't only go through the 6 years of the Holocaust. They also went through 20 years of communism, if not more. Before that, they chose to not focus on that story, but to focus on the present and focus on the future. And that choice has upsides and downsides. It's totally understandable. I'm not here to sit in judgment, but the point is that in hindsight, when a person looks back, they could say, okay, that decision came with a consequence, and some positive, some negative. But each family chooses to highlight certain stories of their past and to bury certain stories of the past, whether out of shame, whether out of, you know, they think it's irrelevant, etc. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because it's at this time of the year when we focus on Pesach, obviously the biggest story of the year, and then Holocaust, and then Israel, the soldiers, and all these stories. Ask yourself, what stories do I share subconsciously or consciously around my dinner table to help myself and my family develop an identity? Which stories do I fall back to? Are they stories of hope? Are they stories of despair? Are they stories of courage? Right? Some of us maybe just focus on political stories, which is basically, group identity by identifying as some political party, or whether locally or overseas. Some of us, it's a story about sport and which, you know, sport team we support, and manifesting our identity through that. Ultimately, we're all telling stories, even if we're not professional storytellers. But which stories we share is very important, right? One window into a culture is to see which stories are they putting on the big screen, right? What are they making movies about? What are they making TV shows about? What stories are they telling? Are they motivational stories? Are they feel-good stories? Are they stories of despair? Are they stories of minority? Are they stories of want and abandon and just reckless, you know, hedonistic lifestyle? What is the story that's being told? What story am I going to watch? What stories am I listening to on my podcasts, on my screens? What narrative am I buying into? And once I figure that out, I have to ask myself an honest question. Am I happy with the stories I'm listening to? Am I happy with the stories I'm sharing? Right? What story am I saying about South Africa? What story am I saying about being a Jew? What story am I even saying about October 7th? The first question is the story true? And the second question, which is as important, is it a useful story? Is it a story that's actually helping me become a better version of myself? Because truth is important, but fundamentally some truths, if all I'm seeking in this world is, you know, the dark truths of life, I might be a truth warrior, but I'm just going to be a person full of despair and negativity. So while we have to be searching for truth, we also have to be searching for hope. And searching for stories that inspire us to be a better version of ourselves. By documenting history is important, but not only to honor history, but to create a better future. And often I think we're a bit cavalier, a bit reckless in what stories we share. Oh, what do you mean? We're just sitting around the table. We're hacking. We're just, you know, chatting. Who cares? There's an incredible amount of intention that has to be in what stories. If you open up the Tanakh, you open up the Bible, you'll see the Torah is very specific about the stories that it shares. There's a lot more stories that didn't make it into the Torah. We have through Medrash. There's a lot of stories that we don't even have in Medrash. We don't even have in the oral, or we don't have at all. Torah does not share every detail of Avram's life. It shared whatever parts of the story are important for us to learn lessons from. Because the greatest point of telling a story is not to honor the past, it's to build the future. Honoring the past is important, but only as important as building the future. Because here's what we don't understand. Some of us, maybe. The greatest honor of the past is when a person passes away and they go to God and God knows their truth. As a rabbi, I found myself many times giving a eulogy. And what I often say is, they don't need the paltry words of little me, the rabbi, to justify or to make context of their lives. They're standing in front of the King of all kings, the knower of truth, the creator of truth. They don't need me to honor them. Honoring the past is not necessarily because they need the honor. It's because I need to honor them, because I need to learn lessons from them. The past is only important if it creates a better future. The past has no value in and of itself for me to spend my time in. It obviously has value, but if I'm going to spend my time, if I, as in each one of us, is going to spend our time with it, it's fundamentally about learning lessons that the living take to heart. Not because the past doesn't matter. It matters deeply in the eyes of God. And therefore, when a person passes away, they stand in front of the Almighty God, and God, you know, rewards them and gives them the value that they need for the life and creates eternity in the most, you know, holiest, most pristine, unlimited way possible. But us, people of the flesh, people that walk the face of this earth, we're not here to honor the past. We're here to learn lessons from the past. We're here to build a future. Right? Some people are so hijacked by the past. They're trying to recreate the past. But that's not what God wants from us. God does not want me to go back to an era with pre-modernity. He wants me to learn to live away within modernity. He's not saying I have to embrace every single mishigas, every piece of nonsense of modernity. But yes, I have to live in today's world. I'm not here to recreate the past. A lot of cultures out there that are trying to go back in time. We're not trying to go back in time. We're trying to bring timeless values into the modern world, right? Translating timeless Torah to today's world. It's one of the most difficult and noble of endeavors, and that is to take timeless values and apply them in a very timely fashion. And that's why each generation has its sages and its leaders and its thinkers and its doers who help translate the timeless values of our tradition into a modern context, into a modern world, without losing the purity of those ideas, not diluting them. Which is the risk often. You know, you take timeless ideas and you try too hard to fit them into the modern world. And sometimes the modern world's values negate those timeless values. And then we'll try to squeeze those timeless values into the opposing values of today. And that never works. No, the timeless values are timeless values. And if today's values go against them, then I will hold on to my timeless values. But I will try to apply those the ideas of Torah to my modern life. Right? My grandfather lived in Russia. I don't. My grandfather lived in a time before screens. I don't. It doesn't make me better or worse. It's just a different goal, a different time, a different application. And I have to figure out, together with people much wiser than me, how I can bring those values into my life. And that's why memory is important, but it's not necessarily important for its own sake. It's important for what it challenges me to do. If it moves me from my seat, if it gives me a calling, if it gives me a purpose, if it gives me a future, then the memory has incredible, incredible value. So I have to ask myself a simple question. What lessons am I learning from the past? Each Shabbos, we come to Shul on Saturday, and it's a different parsha. And each year, I'm a different person. And I have to ask myself what the parsha is teaching me now. I have to know the story. I have to know the basic reading of the text. But then I have to figure out how to apply it without diluting it. So tonight is Yom HaZikaron, the day of memory. And memory has a very, very strong part in our tradition. Rosh Hashanah is, Zichronot, a big part of its, one of its three themes is the idea of memory. Zachor, we have a special Shabbos called Shabbat Zachor, etc., etc. Zikaron, to remember, is extremely important. But only if it moves me to apply the lessons into my daily life. Just having a memory, just having a database, without having a practical way to translate it in my life, is not enough. So when I focus on the sacrifice of people, soldiers, victims of terror, people who've done incredible things, I truly honor them when I choose to emulate them, when I choose to become a person that will sacrifice something of my comforts, my creature comforts, for something bigger than me. The greatest way to honor is not only to light a candle and to say Yizkor. Greatest way to honor someone who I respect is by living the values that they would be proud of, right? 2 weeks ago, we were in Shul and we said Yizkor, just over a week ago. May God remember my father. May God remember my grandfather, my grandmother. And may I remember them. And not just have an image of who they were and cry and laugh about them. Let me emulate them. Let me apply them in my life. Because now that they passed away, they now are not just a person. They're a value. They are a story. They are a manifestation of certain ideals in this world. And my job is to then translate it into my life. And if I do, then I'm truly bringing honor to them.
This is the Verbringen with Rabbi Levi Avtson on 101.9 Chai FM.
This is 101.9 Chai FM. And we were talking today about identity. One of the interesting ways of understanding identity is what a society believes in itself, about itself. I was watching earlier a small little clip from 60 Minutes, the show in America, where they went to Japan and saw the incredibly startling decline in birth rate and people aren't having kids. And the way many Japanese say it is, you're just seeing the future of Western civilization. Just look at Japan. We're 15 years ahead of you. I saw the contrast actually today. I think they just published the stats in Israel. And Israel, thank God, the numbers are substantially higher than the rest of the Western world. Right? One of the ways of telling a society if they're flourishing is, do they want to continue the society? So on the one hand, the West has never had more wealth and comforts, creature comforts, than it has now. We all have a phone. We're all listening to the radio as we speak. On the other hand, we don't seem to want to bestow that gift on another generation, on the most part in the West, right? there's basically almost no Western country that has a 2.1, which is just reproductive rate, which is to have as many people as you currently have in the future. Somehow the story we're telling each other is not a story that we want to perpetuate another generation. Right? My wife and I were just blessed a few weeks ago, thank God, with another child. And thank God, people were so gracious and welcoming to have another, you know, to bring another child into this world. But inevitably, the comment you hear from many, many people is, gosh, Rabbi, it's so hard. I can't believe you do it. I'm not managing with my one, my two, my three. There's a story we're telling ourselves. First of all, thank God for that we're having one, two, or three. It's much, much better than none. But there's a story we tell ourselves that kids get in the way of our life. Kids are a huge undertaking. They're a huge burden. They ruin my freedom, right? Why start having kids at a young age? Have fun first. Let the kids not get in the way of your actualization of you. Those are very dangerous stories. I really believe that we tell ourselves very dangerous stories, that the point of life is self-actualization. No, the point of life is a life of purpose. And if you could self-actualize while you're living a life of purpose, lucky you. But self-actualization is a lie. We've been told ourselves, because when my goal is self-actualization, it turns me into a very selfish person. And it literally is an unsustainable model. What if my marriage comes at the expense of myself? What if my kids come at the expense of myself? What if I don't have a job that could self-actualize? I'll rather be unemployed because I don't feel like I can express myself. Self-expression is one value, but in our time, it's become the highest of values. Be true to yourself. All those expressions that we tell each other every single day, obviously they have a kernel of truth. That's not the point. The point is it the high end of moral endeavor, self-actualization? Is that the ultimate goal in this world? And I would strongly argue not. Right? All these soldiers who were honoring tonight for their sacrifice defending the Jewish people, it was never about self-actualization. Why would they leave their wife and kids or their families and go put their life on the line? There's no self. It's putting self totally on the side. And deep down, we know that, right? Most people still respect Mandela. People respect people who were not about self. But somehow we're all telling ourselves that it's all about you. And as long as you're happy, right? I know you gave marriage vows, but your happiness means more than anything. Well, obviously, when there's abuse, yes, your safety means more than anything. But your happiness means more than anything? Is that a timeless Jewish value? I'm not convinced. It's good to be happy. If you're happily married, you're a very lucky person. But don't your vows count for something as well? If you're not happily parenting, do you stop parenting? If you took on responsibilities in life and they're not fun, do I get to abdicate them? Sorry, kid, I really thought you were cute, but now that I have to wake up four times a night and change your nappy and have to bath you and listen to you shriek in my ear, like in second thought, actually, never mind. We don't get to do that. Because there's a value much bigger than my happiness. There's a value much bigger than, oh, I want my kids to be happy. No, I want my kids to be decent, to be a mensch, to be honorable, to serve others, to be kind. And if they're happy from it, mazel tov. And if they're not happy, too bad. But happiness as an endeavor, comfortable. Oh, I want my kids to have all the comfort, have a gorgeous bedroom with a bathroom en suite and four holidays a year and take them to the best clubs in the world. I want to have a comfortable kid. A kid that thinks that life is comfortable, or do I want a kid that's actually going to go beyond their comfort? Do I want a selfish kid who has no space for others, or somebody who can be selfless, less of self? What stories are we telling ourselves, friends? That's really the question that we're posing at today's Farbringen, is what stories are we telling ourselves? What stories do we push? What stories do we encourage? What stories do we tell our children? Do we tell our children that we want them to be successful or that we want them to be kind? You can have both, but which story are they hearing more often? And which story is more important? And which story would give you more nachas? They know which story it is. And if they know that your greatest goal is that they're kind, hopefully they'll be successful as well. But please God, they actualize your ultimate goal and they're kind. But if they know that success is the most important thing, they might be kind, they might not. Often success comes at the expense of being kind. Sometimes success comes by being ruthless and not seeing other people. We have to be more careful about what stories we focus on, what posters we celebrate and put up on our wall, what we put up on our screens, and what heroes we celebrate, and what flags we wave. Because ultimately, who we put on the highest level of our esteem says a lot more about us than it says about them. This is 101.9 Chai FM. My name is Rabbi Levi Avtson. Thank you so much for joining us for today's show. And I wish that each one of us uses this time. Today was Rosh Chodesh, the beginning of the new month of Iyar, a beautiful month of healing, a month of growth, the Omer. And I want to finish off with this song. It's a beautiful song, Don't Leave Me on My Own, in a cappella version. This is 101.9 Chai FM. Have a great day. God bless you.